Welcome to the Boiler Room Arena podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Santiago Martinez, and my co-host, Julia Leitner, is on special assignment, so I'm going to be flying solo on this one. If you subscribe to our email list or follow us on social media, you've already seen that we just announced, in partnership with Acronym, the release of a paid media assessment for campaigns. This is a guide that will help campaigners navigate the world of political digital ads. If you're familiar with Acronym's work, you know they've built a huge digital ads program focused on beating Donald Trump in 2020. Similar to their digital tools assessment, which FYI, you can now find on the Arena website, they've taken the lessons from their work and built assessments of 8 different ads platforms to share with progressive campaigns. Some of the ads platforms you might know, like Facebook or Google, and some of them you might not know. Personally, I'm a novice when it comes to digital ads, and I found this to be an incredibly empowering assessment. It can help you make the case for incorporating digital ads into your campaign. It can help you take those first steps into placing your own digital ads, or just help you work better with a digital vendor. To get a better understanding of what this assessment is and what digital ads can do, I spoke with Acronym Sarah Cox. Sarah specializes in digital advertising and working to elect progressives coast to coast and everywhere in between. Sarah has worked with a handful of digital firms like Berlin Rosen, Precision Strategies, and all of those experiences have helped her learn how to craft campaign strategies that make an impact and hone her digital instincts. Sarah has touched on all aspects of campaign digital execution, but her work in 2020 has mostly focused on planning and budgeting Acronym and Pacronym's multi-platform anti-Trump persuasion campaigns. She's also trained with us at Arena for our 201 series. And so I'm excited for you all to learn from Sarah. Have a listen. All right, well, I'm here with Sarah Cox. Sarah, thank you so much for joining us here on the Boiler Room. And I'm so excited to talk to you about the paid media assessment from Acronym.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks so much. Super excited to talk to you today. A lot going on and a lot in here that I think will be useful to so many folks on campaigns or wherever they are.
Yeah, well, before we dive into the paid digital assessment, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you coming from? What's your perspective on digital ads?
Yeah, so I kind of came up, like similar to how a lot of people in the digital agency space came up, I think. I went to NYU, and while I was there, did a semester in DC. That was my first time when I was like, let's see what this campaign thing is like. I'm interested in politics. I want to figure out what my niche is. So went and did a more traditional television campaign internship there. And then one of the partners at the end of that internship kind of recommended, have you ever thought about digital as a next step? From there, I then went, you know, did some internships at Precision, Berlin Rosen, those kind of digital political advocacy agencies, and really got my hands into things, learned a lot. And then after grad school, I jumped into things at Lockwood, you know, working really closely on all of the Acronym and Pacronym programs that we kind of manage in-house. So a lot of my professional growth has actually happened here on our programs, on Acronym and Pacronym work. But there's been so much that has happened in the last couple of years. When I started here, I was really the only dedicated ad ops person. So I was the only one who's really spending every day of their work life in all these platforms, setting up ads in media plans and stuff like that. And as we've grown, I think I've been able to like build up that base of expertise, needing to fly solo on a lot of stuff. And that has kind of, you know, I've progressed and Acronym has progressed at the same time. And now here we are. I'm a media planner now. This year I've been working on our big presidential campaign, so our big anti-Trump campaign, Four is Enough. That's been amazing. I've, you know, since I've been here, I've worked on our state legislative programs, worked on voter registration and and mobilization as well. So kind of touched a lot of different pockets of that work and those different kind of campaigns, how those look. And that's really prepared me to navigate this year well. It's been pretty crazy start to finish. We were doing a lot of early persuasion work. So that was interesting. I think that's not something that necessarily happens everywhere, but something that we felt was really necessary. So that's kind of who I am, what I've been doing this year. In terms of my sort of philosophy around digital advertising, I think is really informed by how I came up and how I've progressed in this space. It's that anyone can do this work, and the best way to learn how to do this work is by actually doing it. So myself and really all of my colleagues have built up their immense expertise by doing this, learning from each other, really seeing how all of this work unfolds and rolling with the punches. Really, that's the best way to kind of get into digital advertising. I think there's such a wide range of what you can do with digital advertising, just little amplifications of the digital work you're already doing, all the way to multi-million dollar campaigns where you're running across a bunch of platforms, doing a bunch of, in-depth analysis of performance as things are happening. There's such a vast range here. And I think people tend to see digital advertising as mostly the big stuff. And it's not necessarily the case. I think that, you know, with campaigns, digital advertising should be a piece of the puzzle everywhere, of something that really just works to complement the rest of the work that you're doing on your campaign, whatever that looks like. So it's so accessible. You really can learn a lot as you're going, and you really can repurpose a lot of stuff that you're doing other places, whether that's television, whether that's just, you know, Facebook posts you have in groups or on your page, what have you. All of that is kind of available for you to use in this space to just take that a step further, get it in front of more eyes. I think especially this year, it's even more important just to fill the gap. You know, we aren't necessarily door knocking as much as we would in previous years, or, you know, we need a way to safely communicate with people where they're spending time. And for a lot of people, that is on Facebook or Instagram, yeah, or they're streaming shows on Hulu or whatever it is. So especially in this year, especially thinking about younger voters as well, who don't answer the phone or don't answer a cold, you know, text even sometimes, that this is a great way to get eyes in front of people. And again, to just amplify the work that you're already doing somewhere else.
I love that. And talking a little bit about like kind of the accessibility of it and how easy it might be to take what you're doing, amplify it, I think is awesome. And I think is also something that I think folks need to hear, because they can kind of put a wall between themselves and saying, I can't do that. And that's not going to be something that I'm going to be able to do. Or they might be working with somebody and they feel maybe intimidated by, you know, engaging on it fully and being a great strategic thought partner that they can be, just because they don't know, like feel like they know the lingo or things like that. I think also it's just, at least my outside perspective on what Acronym's been doing, you all have like, maybe even back to 2019, like the huge, like digital ads have just become such a huge focus. And it's really interesting to hear you talk about how that's grown over time from kind of a scrappy one person sort of shop to like building out this kind of collaborative team environment where you're all learning from each other. And I think that's a really great, kind of a great story in and of itself of like how the work has developed. And at least, you know, as I was going through the digital ad, the paid digital assessment, you know, you get to see some of that collaborative nature and some of the kind of the way it's come together and the hot takes. So I feel like this is a good point when we can actually talk a little bit about what is this assessment? How did it come together? And you know, how can people use it?
Yes. So we're so excited about this. It's been in the works for a while, and it's something that was actually inspired by a digital organizing tools assessment that is also in the ARENA toolkit that some acronym staff helped develop. A shout out to Canada Carnes for that, who I just listened to her episode in preparation for this. But we saw how useful that was for people coming onto campaigns. I think one thing we really think about a lot with acronym is how we can leave infrastructure for progressives in this space to use. I think we've really seen how the kind of campaign cycle can make these learnings disappear and then have to be like built up from scratch when campaigns come back. And obviously that every time we have to relearn stuff, every time we have to start from scratch, that puts us at a disadvantage. Yeah. So that's one of the real goals of both the digital organizing assessment and then also this. This has a few different pieces to it. This tools assessment, we have some guides on how to run digital ads. We have a glossary with a lot of terms that you'll probably use or hear a lot when you're working on paid media. And then we also have some individual kind of guides around the platforms themselves. So our real goal with this tools assessment is to give people a resource where they can get the basics, get the building blocks that they need to then figure out what is it that I can do myself, or what is it that I can talk to my agency about. There's something in here for everyone. I think we go over with the platforms, we go over who's it for, you know, estimated costs, targeting capabilities, strengths and weaknesses, political ad policies, a lot of the stuff that we all know, I think, in this space, or if you have a light familiarity with digital advertising, you know that all these pieces are out there, but you don't necessarily know what they are, how to put them together, the details on it. What do you need to know? What do you don't really need to know? You don't know what you don't know. And that makes it hard to ask questions or figure some of this stuff out yourself. So this is a great way. I think now at this point, everyone out there who's getting late money and is like, what do I do with this? Here you are. If you've been wanting to try digital advertising and really haven't had the money or the buy-in, this is a great place to come maybe get a little inspiration. We have a lot of helpful links in here for the platforms as well, from training resources that the platforms themselves have, tools that they might have, and then transparency reports for the different platforms too, which is one of our favorite things. We have a great email newsletter around spending on the social platforms, mostly Facebook and Google. So plug for that for what it's worth, newsletter.
That's great.
But it has a lot of great information where you can really see what are other people doing too. So that's definitely something that you might not think is would be useful, but there is a use for it even for anyone who's just like, I'm getting started. What's my opponent doing? What are my peers doing? What are they using to run ads on Facebook or on Google?
Yeah, I think that's such a huge point. Like when I was first diving into like the Facebook assessment and looking at like the political ads archive and being able to see like what other people have done in past campaigns to like get inspiration. But then what you just mentioned in terms of being able to see what your opponents are doing, like, you know, and I'd be interested in your take on this, like, being able to compare, like sometimes you're like, it's almost like you do ads in a vacuum and you don't quite know what to compare it to, but maybe that is something that you can kind of be able to gauge what your success is as you're starting to go down this rabbit hole, or at least just, again, getting that inspiration for what's possible.
Yeah. I think I've heard quite a bit doing trainings over the last few years of people still having a hard time getting buy-in to do digital advertising. I think that, you know, transparency reports stuff is a great way to make your case for that, in addition to a lot of other things that I think are wonderful about digital advertising, like the amount of data you get back to learn about your own work, how you can do things in real time, how it tends to be much cheaper than a lot of other ways of contacting voters. The great thing about the transparency report is you can see what other people are doing. If you can go to, you know, whoever you need to get buy-in from and say, according to this transparency report, our opponent has been running Facebook ads since August, or, you know, something like that. That's great ammo to have. So I would say that is definitely useful for getting buy-in, useful for getting inspiration. If you have a few people you want to look up that you know are maybe running a race that are similar to you, that's something you can very easily snoop a little bit, but find out some helpful stuff.
And are the transparency reports available on all of the platforms, or they're just select ones that make that kind of information available?
So Facebook, Facebook's transparency report would cover both Facebook and Instagram.
Got it.
And Google should cover YouTube advertising as well as Google search advertising. Snapchat has a similar report. I don't think it's as robust. They're a younger ad platform. So definitely you can see the differences in the behemoths versus the little guys, but all of those platforms have stuff available. That's it for the most part, but even just in there, I think those are really the platforms that if someone's spending on digital, they're likely spending there at least at a minimum. So again, because of the accessibility to some of those platforms and the cost. So while it would be great, my political staff is always asking, our political team is always asking, you know, if there are more resources from these platforms and spending patterns or, you know, viewership patterns or something like that. There are odds and ends out there, but the best, most consistent stuff, I would say, around spending from political partners is going to be Facebook and Google.
Got it. And so, yeah, as I'm looking at the paid media tools, you know, we have kind of 8 different assessments here. There's some familiar names, household names, I would say. You have your Facebook, Instagram, Google, YouTube. And then there's like you said, kind of some upstarts that you know about, but maybe haven't necessarily thought about as like places where you could place ads. And then there are a couple of names that were totally new to me before doing the assessment. So you have Hulu, Twitter, Snapchat, which I feel like we all kind of know about. And with Twitter, there's a lot of changes and like what's actually possible there. So there still could be some ambiguity in a name that you do know. Then you have Pandora, SoundCloud, and then there's this category of programmatic ads, which would love to dig in with you in terms of just what is that and like lifting the veil off of that a bit.
Yes, programmatic ads are really probably most of the ads that you see when you're just out surfing the web. Programmatic advertising is a method of ad buying where you're kind of running in an ad exchange. There are publishers that have ad space that they're selling, and then there are buyers that want to buy that. So in these exchanges, you might have ad space on, you know, like hundreds of different websites or apps or whatever it is. So programmatic ads really broadly is, you know, when buyers go in and say, I want to reach this group of people wherever they are across the web, and you kind of buy up that ad space to target that group of people as they're jumping around. So if you know, ever see the same ad on 5 websites in a row when you're online, someone is probably has you in an audience and is, you know, buying ads programmatically against that audience to get to you.
And so that'll track across, so that's tracking across different websites. That's really cool.
Yeah, I think that's like a That's one that seems very complicated, but I think can be distilled into something we all understand and can see. And, you know, once you hear about it in a little bit more simplified way, you're like, that tracks, because I've experienced that. I think most of these websites as well, you can go, you know, direct to that publisher to buy maybe more premium space. For example, you know, the New York Times, you know, Billboard ad on their homepage. That might be something that people are going direct. But then there's inventory that these publishers save for direct buys. And then there's inventory that they put into exchanges and people can just come buy that up. So there's such a mix of things. This type of advertising definitely, because it's so broad, means you have to pay a little bit more attention to it, because you want to make sure you aren't spending a bunch of money on inventory that's just not very good. So, and that can be the case. I would say programmatic advertising is one of those places where in the past there's been the most, I don't want to say fraud, but like fraud technically, where people are, you know, selling ad space that's like stacked on top of each other. So you have one ad that people can see, and you have one ad that's directly underneath that, that technically loads, but no one can see. Or you, even less malicious stuff, if you buy, if your page loads and the ad that you are serving is at the very bottom of the page, they only scroll 30% of the page, they never see that. So that is, that's called viewability. That's something we talk about and think about a lot when we're looking at our programmatic. At our programmatic campaigns, it's something to be aware of and just know, you know, what questions to ask when you're saying, this performance looks great. What's our quality like? In a platform like Facebook or YouTube, we tend to think of that as much higher quality. We kind of know where it's going. We have more data on people's interactions with it. It's a more viewable environment. And we also know it's likely more, slightly pretty brand safe, where you're not going to serve around shady stuff. Whereas programmatic, you have more possibility to be doing that. So you have to kind of put more guardrails on that. Look at your data, dig into your data a bit more, just with a careful eye to make sure you're really accomplishing what you want to accomplish there.
And in terms of like doing something like that, and like, because there's more guardrails, there are more things to just keep an eye on to make sure that the things are working the way that they're supposed to, and you're spending money in the right places. That's like a kind of an ads platform that you'd be working with a firm to be able to implement those. That's not something that, you know, you can, I have this late money and now I'm going to go do it on my own sort of thing.
Yeah. So we did try to kind of outline in this tools assessment who each platform is kind of meant for. And we did say, for that reason, programmatic ads is maybe more for digital advertising firms. I would say it is one of the less intuitive. There are many platforms that you can use to do programmatic buying. Dataxu or Google's DV360. There are a bunch of different ones, which on the programmatic tile, there are like six different logos or something. But that one is less intuitive, more places to shop around, more like we just talked about, more things to kind of check in on. No. So I would say that one is probably best left to someone who has more expertise than a newcomer, but a newcomer can still, I think, from reading this tools assessment, glean some of the things that they need to ask about and make sure they're being covered and thorough.
Yeah, that's, I think, the thing that I love most about this tools assessment is like, here's something that, you know, is going to probably be out of my control if I'm using a digital advertiser and they're going to be telling me about this and it would just maybe just go over my head. But looking at this now, I know a little bit more about what to expect. I think the benchmarking stuff that you all have in here is really great too, in terms of being able to have something to compare to. I mean, every campaign is going to be different, but it's always nice to be able to kind of lean back on that as you're starting to view results and see what's happening.
Totally. I think the cost stuff in here, we had a lot of internal conversations about, because you can make something like that very complicated, where you're like, how many different ways do we want to cut this data? We have campaign work that's national or state-based or state legislative, and all those costs can be a little bit different. We have campaigns that we've run to a voter file list. We've had campaigns that run to interest targeting. Those are a little different, different objectives. So there's a lot that can affect what your costs end up being, but we wanted to give people a starting point, like you said. And then from there, you know, they can really have something to lead conversations, again, if those are conversations with agencies or conversations around their team or with themselves, if they're a one-man shop. You know, what am I seeing? How similar or different is that to what these kind of benchmark numbers are? And then, you know, looking through some of our how to run digital ads guides and other things to figure out, could it be that I have a really small audience and that's why my costs are high? You know, trying to figure out some of the questions to ask to kind of dig into those results.
Yeah, that's great. And it's great to hear that, like, you all wrestled with that. And, like, you know, I could see myself, like, also doing the same thing where I'm like, oh, but we got to give so much more detail. And it's like, sometimes you're like, this is a starting place. This is, you know, and there's a lot that goes into it. And, you know, it's helpful to know that that's the starting place, but, you know, also that you're going to see some differences as you are kind of on your own journey with digital ads.
Yeah, I think that's how we approach most things, is we all always want to give a lot of detail into everything. I think with digital advertising, there's so much, but there's only so much you can do at the same time. So really, when you're running any sort of campaign, there are like 50,000 rabbit holes you could go down. I remember after the 2018 races, I spent like 3 weeks in January or something just trying to cut all of our data in different ways, and then coming out on the other side of that and being like, I don't even know exactly what I learned because this is too much. So just know that, you know, there is a starting point. There's always more you can learn. There's always more you can dig into. Some of it's not even necessarily that helpful for you to do. You know, retaining focus in this space too is definitely something that is really necessary, because there are so many different things that you can do. You know, you can be running video ads, but also directing to your website. And if you really want people to watch the videos, but you get sidetracked by, ooh, they could come to my website and, like, I can grow my email list. That's great. But do you want to have people watch these videos, or do you want to grow your email list?
Yeah.
You should, you know, pick a lane, think of things as like primary and secondary. Make sure you're focused on actually solving your problem versus accomplishing your goal versus, wow, this space is wide open. I can do so much.
Yeah. And I think that's the perfect plug for the How to Run Digital Ads Guide that is at the top of the paid digital assessment, where you all outline kind of, you know, how you think about your objectives, goals, and audience to, like, keep you on track. So hopefully you don't go down those same rabbit holes. But I thought that was a really great, like, there's some really good examples in there, and in terms of, like, what are your goals, what are the types of audiences that you need to be thinking about in order to reach that kind of a goal. And so it's important to, you know, you get, so there's so much data to not get totally lost in that.
Yeah, we recently did an arena in a training, a Zoom training earlier this summer that the team really enjoyed working on. But that was one of our biggest things for a 201 audience of people at that level, was really trying to hone in on more details around kind of our three basic questions that we distilled digital campaign strategy into, which is, what are you trying to do? Who do you need to reach? And where do you want to reach them? It really comes down to being as simple as that. Obviously, you can grow details out till the cows come home, on all of those points, but that's really where every campaign starts, where every campaign should start, at least. So that's, I think, one of the things that also really comes through in that How to Run Digital Ads guide is hammering in on those three questions for yourself and making sure you have really clear answers to be able to move forward and actually execute properly, put everything out in the world.
Yeah. And I think that's just, that's smart strategy, right? And like you mentioned earlier, it's, you know, digital ads is a component, or, you know, even if you are doing Facebook ads and maybe you're doing Google ads or something like that, those are components of a larger program and strategy that you're trying to reach. And I think the really cool thing about the digital ads assessment is like in the drawback, like in the strengths and the drawbacks for each tool or the targeting capabilities, you can actually start to understand like, okay, well, what part of this overall objective or strategy that we're trying to put together, like what's this platform going to be able to get us and who's it going to help us reach? And so you can start to put those pieces of the puzzle together. And it's kind of like a clear-eyed view of that. Whereas before, I think, you know, as somebody who isn't an ads expert, you know, I might go in and have unrealistic expectations about what these ads could do, how we could target, who they might be able to reach. And like this now kind of opens my eyes to have a clearer view of what's actually possible. And maybe also if I'm working with a vendor or somebody makes me a better client to work with, because I know a little bit more to be able to speak the language and know what's possible.
Yeah, I mean, we're very aware and we're very aware going into our training earlier this year that the situations people are in on campaigns just really runs the gamut. They might be the only person doing things themselves. They might have a 10-man team and they're working with an agency to do some of this stuff. I think, again, like I said earlier, there's definitely something in this for everyone. I think for the people who are really just trying to go it themselves, some of these like links to how these platforms work are really helpful. You can actually go in and, you know, walk through, I'm setting up a campaign, what is it going to look like? Or, oh, I actually need to go get political verification myself for our campaign. How do I do that? Where do I go? And then for people who are just like, I only need to know exactly what I need to know in this moment because I'm juggling a million other things. Yeah. I'm not actually executing myself. Great. You know, you can kind of look through and understand at least what's possible in a lot of these places and figure out what you can maybe layer in or figure out a smart tactic that maybe your agency isn't going to think about. You can say, oh, we have this list of voters that we've talked to, you know, on the phone about this issue. You can, you know, and say, what if we targeted them with ads? What if we, you know, threw them in the mix? And we knew that they were getting our ads on Facebook as well as that we're talking to them actively.
Yeah.
All of those things are options. It's just knowing that it's on the table. And that's the hoop, you know, that we need to jump through here, I think, to get people to that point where they can, like you said, be smart, strategic partners for the people who are actually doing the work.
And I'm glad you mentioned the 201 videos or the 201 trainings that you all did. We just uploaded those videos of those trainings to our toolbox. It was such a great training. We were like, we have to get this to, you know, and this is such an, everything is like throwing everything out there, like, you know, and so we've wanted to get those out into the world before the election. So if there's anybody who is thinking about digital ads, those are available online and you can find those in our toolbox. But one of the things that I wanted to make sure we touched on are there any like common misconceptions about ads, like especially as like people might be entering this for the first time that might be worth just flagging, and maybe it's something you've already mentioned, but I think it's important to call that out.
Yeah, I think the biggest one that I come to time and time again is that people think it's something they can't do themselves. I feel pretty strongly that everyone can do it, at least some things in-house themselves. These are very learnable skills. No one that I know, but no one that I work with really like formally trained to use these platforms at all. Everyone I've worked with, half of them learned how to use these platforms like at Acronym, at Lockwood on this work. So to say that that you can't do it because you really don't know how, we get around that. I think on every campaign, there are organizers who come in and learn how to use these texting tools in like a week because they have to. It's the same principle. To me, that what I've said, and when I'm actually interviewing people, my biggest thing to ask them is how they learn a new digital skill, how they go about doing that. Because I think that's a really good indicator of whether or not they'll be able to pick up on stuff.
Absolutely.
Like very frankly, this space is also changing constantly. So even people who have worked in this space for a while, there's always something new for them to learn. There have been countless political advertiser changes in the last like 2 months. So there's always something new. It's really just how quickly can you learn it? And if, in my opinion, like if you can learn how to use Van on the job, like you can learn how to use Facebook ads on the job. It's probably significantly more intuitive, actually. so I would say don't let that knowledge gap be a barrier. Figure out what would be possible for you to do. What are you comfortable with? Maybe you want to start out by, you know, boosting one of the posts that you've already posted to your Facebook page. Like, I want to put $100 behind this. Great. That's a first accomplishable task. If you don't feel comfortable starting big, that's probably smart. Probably, you know, take baby steps. But these are things that you can learn. And the only way you're going to be able to do that is by actually doing it yourself.
I love that. And I love what you said about interviewing people and trying to, you know, gauge whether or not someone has the aptitude for this. And like, I feel like I do the same thing with respect to data. And I'm like, I'm just looking for people who can learn. And I think the point you made about the adaptability, just because the space is always changing, like, you know, being eager and hungry to learn, like that is just such an important, maybe undervalued skill that, you know, people are always like, I want years of experience. And it's like, just show me somebody who can learn and be adaptable. I think that's great.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I would take someone who, you know, over the last few years has taught themselves how to use this random data visualization software, this random digital organizing tool. You know, if you can get a hang of those things and you can do it quickly and you can do it in an environment where you needed to learn fast to get something done, like you can do this. So it's definitely feels more intimidating than it is. And I also think, you know, it's very actively spending money is maybe what makes it intimidating for people too, knowing that they don't want to feel like they wasted money. But again, that's why we can start small and start with maybe some of the platforms that are more intuitive. Facebook, while is a very complicated partner in this world, is a pretty easy place to start. So take baby steps, spend amounts of money that you're like, this is good for me to start with. I can both accomplish this goal and learn at the same time, and I'm comfortable with that, and I can build from there.
That's great advice. I know you are incredibly busy, and thank you so much for coming here. You are in the weeds in this like day in and day out. And so I'd be remiss if I didn't also ask, like, is there anything like in the digital ad space that surprised you in 2020? Anything that like might be helpful for anybody who is thinking about what they should be doing with digital ads?
Yeah. I mean, similar to what we were just talking about, the amount that changes and the speed at which things change seems dizzying sometimes. I think when I started, I started with Lockwood in April of 2018. Facebook rolled out their first like political advertiser disclaimer situation in early summer. So it was really like right after I started. So most of my time here has been spent grappling with all of these different things. I guess at some point I was like, maybe this will slow down a little bit, but it really hasn't. And I really think a lot of platforms waited until kind of late this year to make some critical changes. One thing I would say to anyone who is working on Facebook this year, they recently announced that they will not allow any new ads to be launched in the last week leading up to the election, which has a lot of workflow implications. It is it's a solvable problem. We can work around it. But that's the kind of thing that, like, you always have to be paying attention. These things are always going to pop up, and you really have to roll the punches. So I think dealing with that ambiguity and the back and forth this year has been probably more intense than I would have guessed at the beginning of the year. I think I thought a lot of people had worked through what their stance was, but that's always something you just have to be aware of and on the lookout for. None of the changes that these platforms make are like that some of them make our work more difficult, but I am definitely of the mind that, like, none of these is a catastrophic problem.
Yeah.
They're going to happen because the nature of political advertising, we pop up, spend a bunch of money, and then come back like 2 or 4 years later, for the most part, not necessarily for everyone, but we don't necessarily spend enough for all these platforms to cater to us. So in my opinion, the power dynamic is kind of
interesting.
Platforms have the edge. And that is what it is. And I think, like, my personal philosophy is that we just have to deal with that and figure out how to accomplish what we need to accomplish. We can, you know, talk about how this affects our work all day long, but at the end of the day, it still has to happen. So that's definitely something this year that has been an interesting addition to deal with on top of everything else. And I don't think it's going to stop. As we continue to have conversations across really, you know, the country about what digital advertising, what guardrails should be on it with political advertisers, I think it's going to be a constant thing that we'll be dealing with for years to come. So I, for one, am trying to get comfortable dealing with it, keeping an eye on it, and just figuring out how to work in whatever situation that I'm given.
Yeah, like, from an outsider perspective, like, just seeing all of the different changes, I think that's one of the hesitancies we've had at Arena in terms of putting out any guides or anything in our toolbox around digital ads. It's just how much has changed. And so I think, again, that's why we're so excited to partner with you all, to leverage that expertise, to be able to bring the expertise from people who are in it every single day and know and understand that. So thank you, and shout out to the entire team at Acronym for pulling this together. This is awesome.
Awesome. Yeah, if there are a ton of hands on this, our whole media team, our comms team, mostly, but thank you to our whole team for putting all this work in. It was really a collaborative effort, and we're very excited for people to use this, for this to get out into the world.
Yeah. And again, those 201 videos are also up, which showcase some of the members of the Acronym team. Sarah, you're also featured in those, in a couple of those 201 videos. So you can learn more from the folks at Acronym. But the paid media assessment is now on the Arena website. The digital tools is now has its new home on the Arena website as well. And so just a really incredible legacy and just useful infrastructure that is going to help us in the next 30 days, but also beyond. And so, Sarah, thank you for coming on and sharing your expertise with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, that does it for this episode of the Arena Boiler Room. Check us out on Twitter and Instagram at Arena Summit. Like us on Facebook. You can find the paid media assessment, the digital tools assessment, the 201 training videos that were all mentioned in this podcast at our website, arena.run/toolbox. For my co-host, Julia Leitner, and myself, thank you for listening.